This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. This is Wells Tech, episode 452 for July 5th, 2016, a show about technology and ministry. Thanks so much for joining us. Alongside, as usual, podcasting partner from New Ulm, Minnesota, Sally Draper. How'd you like my pronunciation of Minnesota there?
Very That's authentic, pretty awesome. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I usually say Minnesota because that's how it sounds to me when folks around here say it.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to make it to July because July means vacation time, actually.
Right. And truth be told, you're actually on vacation as we speak.
Imagine that. Right here recording in the comfort of
my office. Yeah. You're on vacation this week. I'm on a vacation next week. But lo and behold, we have a show to do. So we did a little pre-recording, and we are in our lighter fare over the summer months. We pick up this year we've picked a topic, kind of a broad topic, per month. So in June, if you missed it, we did a whole series on mobile stuff, how it relates to ministry, devices, apps, had a lot of fun, mobile photography, etc. This month is security. Maybe not quite as much fun, but very essential to have these conversations about keeping your identity and your stuff safe, especially in the mobile world that we live. And specifically, we're going to talk today about maybe where it all starts, and that's password management. The importance of having strong passwords, the tools that are available for managing passwords, having different passwords for sites. Passwords are a big deal right now, Sally. I don't know how many you have. I don't even know how many I have, but it's more than I would want to count. And thank goodness for things like LastPass that I can stuff them all in and feel pretty confident that I can get them out again.
Definitely true, Martin. I agree. I don't even want to count how many Google passwords I have, much less any other sites that are out there. But definitely have a lot of them. And, you know, maybe we should preface our discussion about passwords, about security in general, with the fact that this is definitely a personal topic or a family topic, but I think it also has ministry repercussions. Sure. Passwords, for instance, in a ministry office setting or whatever, could grant the wrong people access to some personal information potentially. And so conversation that we need to have and look at personally, but also one that definitely applies to the church and school setting.
Yeah, and the thing that you kind of forget about is it really only takes one weak link in an organization for the entire set of data or information that is stored there to be at risk. So good policy setting, making sure people understand that this is an important thing, you know, that you can't use, you know, password 123 is your password if you're the church secretary or whatever that has access to some of these important systems that if they were violated would really cause a problem in the church or school.
Yeah, I have to share kind of a personal perspective on this, and that is working for the Synod Technology Office, we're actually the bad guys who enforce those kind of things on our users, and our users are a lot of the people that are listening to this podcast, called workers that are out there that need to access information on the well sites, the various well sites and things. And, you know, being a bad guy isn't a fun place to be. We have to answer the help desk calls and help people out and stuff when they have challenges with their passwords. But even you and I, Martin, we moan and groan about the same exact things, because that day that we have to change that Synod password, which is enforced on us just like everyone else, that's a sad day because my fingers learned the last one and I don't really want to change it. But we all have to practice this good hygiene. Just like you said, just one weak link. And if right. that weak link or Sally Draper, you know, just because I work in the technology office, I'm not immune to being the weak link myself. So I got to live by it too.
Yeah, hurts the whole organization. And if you're feeling sorry for yourself, anybody out there who's got a password policy where you got to change it every, you know, 6 months or whatever, Sally and I have to change our passwords every 45 days for some systems.
Way too soon.
Try that.
Yeah.
6 weeks goes by pretty quickly, but there are different ways, and we're going to talk about some tools that will help you do that, and it's important to take advantage of technology to help you be more secure, and I think a lot of people are recognizing this is a market that is very important to pay attention to, and there are, again, a lot of tools out there that you may want to consider as you're trying to beef up your security, and everybody could probably get more secure.
Yeah. So I think we're at a day and age where everybody's probably experienced that many sites demand of you now longer passwords and passwords that contain a variety of types of characters. So upper and lowercase numbers, special characters, all of those things are often imposed upon you. If you don't have it, you got to include those. But there's even bad ways to do that kind of thing, in that maybe you always just string on the year or something at the end of your password, and that's pretty easy to guess or whatever. So I know one trick that a lot of people do is just switching out some letters with numbers. So the number 3 in place of the letter E or whatever. Again, those kind of things are pretty easy to guess. You're better off being a lot more random about what you do, not capitalizing the first letter, but capitalizing a letter randomly in the middle or whatever. That's going to make it a lot more difficult, not just for people to try to guess manually, but what we're fighting against are computers trying to break passwords, and they can do it a whole lot faster checking passwords. Yep. So
one thing that probably is a nice segue from last month's topic of mobile is probably the most insecure thing that you have these days is not your laptop or desktop, but it's your mobile phone, because it's portable, it's stealable. And for many of us, not myself included, or you, Sally, I'm sure, it's very easy to press a little button and up pops the screen, and you can go into any app and they've remembered the passwords to your email account. And they're just kind of an open door to all of your data that is so easy to grab. And that's why I think we need to pay a lot more attention to security, and that's been in the news a lot, security on our mobile devices. So if you don't have a passcode already set up, or if you don't use the device's capabilities like Touch ID for an iPhone, then you're really missing out. It's a little bit of an inconvenience, but it's probably less so than ever before, because these devices have gotten so easy to implement that those security mechanisms that it's hardly a barrier at all. So use the PIN codes, use the Touch ID, whatever it is that you need to, secure that device, because chances are, it may fall into the wrong hands.
Yep. And I was excited that with the newest iOS update, the PIN code is not just 4 digits, but 6 now. Right. So that makes it just that much more secure. But 6 even seems short compared to our online passwords, where they're demanding 8 and 12 characters or more at times.
So the next step beyond that, kind of the securing of everything with strong passwords, and we'll have resources for that, is the concept of two-step verification or authentication, where you not only have to put in a password, but if the site that you're going to supports it, they're requiring a second set of credentials be entered in, and usually that's a PIN number that can either be texted to your device or displayed on an app on your device. So not only is it something in your head, it's something on your person. So it's a two-step verification process. And we've talked about some of these. Google Authenticator is probably the most popular one. One of my picks a little while back was something called Authy, same kind of thing. So for instance, in my Authy application, I have my Google, LastPass, and I forget, there's one, maybe Facebook authentication. And the way it works is you go to the site, you enter your password, and if it doesn't recognize your computer, it's saying, I got to verify who you are. Go to your Authy app or your Google Authenticator and type in the code that you see there. It takes an extra 5 seconds or so. It's not that bad. And then there's always usually a little box there that says, remember this device. So for 30 days, you're never going to have to do that again. So it's for your own protection. Banks are now doing this. It's just a little extra step that it's making sure you are who you say you are. And these are all free tools, so there's nothing you're really going to have to pay. You just have to be a little more sophisticated about how you do it and, you know, have the device with you. And you can put these on multiple devices, too. So if you have an iPad, you have a tablet and a phone, you can do it on both. And you just need one at the ready when you go to these sites, especially with a new account.
Got a couple of things to share. First up, I wanted to add to what you just said with a recent article from The Verge announcing that Google's making two-factor authentication a lot easier to use. So if you have that Google app, for those watching, you can see the screen. It says trying to sign in, and you can just say yes, allow the sign in. So instead of having to put a code into the computer from your app, you can just tap a button in the app now, and that will allow you to authenticate. Yes, I see this. I want to sign in. So really simple. Simplifying it a little bit. The other story I have to tell is a Google story, and I would venture to say my husband maybe hasn't set up authentication yet on Google, but he traveled last weekend and he got an email that said someone has your password. They're trying to log into your account, and it gave the details of where they were located. It was actually him on his device trying to log in. It said, you know, the city that he was actually in and his travels and stuff, but they're
Google
looking
says
out for
you're
you.
Not they're getting there. This is an odd thing.
Right. Yeah. Getting more aggressive with that. I've had that happen to me related to my credit card. If I'm on vacation, they'll kind of stop your credit card and stuff, but right. Obviously they're fighting this because it's such a challenge these days, and you know the repercussions are big. One thing I didn't mention, Martin, as we were talking about the security of your passwords and things, was the fact that you don't want to repeat your passwords on multiple sites. And I think it was even Mark Zuckerberg, you mentioned Facebook, and that reminded me, I think Mark Zuckerberg's accounts actually got hacked, a few of them, like his Twitter account and LinkedIn maybe, right. And they tracked it back to he had used the same passwords on those sites. So even Mark Zuckerberg is guilty of repeating his passwords on multiple sites, and we need to, you know, learn from that. And as hard as it is to remember passwords and things, even switch them up on every single site. Yeah. So,
for sure, let's say your most important or highly valued password should be standalones. So your banking mm-hmm. password would come to mind, or your credit card, or whatever. Your email is probably another one that should be just a standalone. It should not be shared with any other system because you've got valuable information in there.
Right. And those for work, obviously, like we were talking mm-hmm. about, you know, putting work
protecting
passwords.
Somebody else's data for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
One thing that I just heard about from Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference is with the new versions of their Watch OS and their Mac OS, proximity authentication mm-hmm. is now possible. So if you wear an Apple Watch, and this is kind of their way to kind of get you into their ecosystem, but if you're wearing the Apple Watch and you walk up to your computer and it happens to be locked, it'll sense over Bluetooth that you're within, I think they said 3 meters or something like that, and automatically unlock it for you so you don't have to type in your screen unlock password. So, and that makes a lot of sense. So you've got something that that's again a kind of a two-factor authentication approach. So there, companies are trying to make this better, and I think it will get better, but there's certain common sense involved. One thing, Sally, that I think we've talked about fairly recently is the ability to let somebody else in to these password managers or these other systems that you have. So if for whatever reason we're gone, or loved one passes away or is not available or whatever, there are certain fail safes that you can build into things like LastPass or your Google passwords to allow other people to gain access. The way LastPass works is you set it up for a certain time period. Somebody can request access, and if you don't respond, let's say in 24 hours or 48 hours or 3 days or 10 days or whatever, then they will get access. So the system is assuming, hey, you're not available. So this other person should be given access, your spouse or family member or whatever, because a lot of people have very important data tucked away in these systems, and their spouse may not know what the password is. So it's important to kind of get a system in place that would allow them to have access to those very important tools.
Yep, our friends at LastPass actually just released an article not that long ago about preparing a digital will for your passwords. And they talk about their tool. They talk about the reasons you might want to consider doing this and, you know, some of the repercussions, some of the things to be sensitive to. They also point to Google, Facebook, and Instagram all having a way to designate digital heirs, they call it. So you can let them have access to your account under
yes
right. And so I think this is a great read for everyone. Your online presence needs to be taken care of if you aren't able to do that, so
right.
Very, very important thing to remember.
Yep. Sally, before we leave this topic, we should talk probably about some recommendations for password managers. What are you using these days?
I'm a LastPass girl. I've used PasswordSafe in the past, but I went to LastPass several years ago. It's all online, and also with a fee, you can have it on your mobile device.
$12 mm-hmm, bucks a year.
$12 a year, right. Mm-hmm. And it allows you... My favorite thing about it, besides the facts, is it'll suggest these long and complex passwords and store them for you securely, but it also fills them in for you as you navigate to the website. So it's really nice to not even have to do anything, just have that information filled in for you. So of those countless passwords that I have, even countless Google passwords that I have, I really don't even know what they are. I don't have to remember anything but my LastPass password for the most part. And
that one, right?
Yeah, and that's that one you'd be in trouble with
fairly regularly, sure. I use the same. And one other feature that might be interesting to some of our listeners is the fact that you can connect two different LastPass accounts if you have the business version or the enterprise version, which we do here in the Synod office, separate from a personal account. So it's really convenient because I had a personal account before we signed on with the enterprise version, which is actually fairly reasonable as well. So I've got my work passwords in that, and then I have my personal passwords in my personal account, but I don't have to log in and out of either system to try and get that stuff. And if you're not familiar with how these systems work, they usually install as a little plugin in your browser. So as you visit sites, it recognizes the site. And if it doesn't recognize the site, there's a little button up there that you can do a search and go to a vault and do a lookup. And that reminds me that you don't just have to save passwords in there. You can save credit card information, social security numbers, you know, those kinds of things that you want tucked away as well. So it's not just for passwords, but any other critical information. And you can, it's always encrypted. And the best thing about it is it's always available. So it's on your phone, it can be in your browser, whatever.
This is the part of the show where I do a shout out to my mom. Hi, Mom. Your Wi-Fi password is securely saved in my LastPass account. So when you call me and need it, that's where I'll look for it. So yep. I do want to backtrack a little, Martin. You talked about the Enterprise Edition. We went to that recently in Wells, and that's really helpful and might be helpful for our schools and churches to consider as well, because there are things that we do need to share. For instance, our login to our Wells Tech accounts. Martin and I both have access to those through that one shared folder. With the Enterprise, you can give different people different levels of security to get to the LastPass data. So that's been really valuable, I think.
And one thing just to add on to that, one thing that it allows us to do is when we do documentation, how to get into systems, you know, what the username is, we never have to include passwords in our documentation. I always just say, see LastPass. So if they've got it installed, they can go in, they know what the kind of the main admin user account is, but they'd have to have access to LastPass to be able to authenticate.
Right. I'm going to mention one other password saver, and this is one that is brand new to me as of some reading that I was doing to prepare for this podcast. It's called TrueKey. I don't know if you've heard of TrueKey, Martin, but it was recommended on some sites I visited. And the thing that's different about
facial recognition.
Yeah, it has facial and fingerprint scanning to give you. So what is the word from Sneakers? My voice is my passcode or something like that. Remember that movie?
Awesome movie.
It's not your voice,
Robert Redford,
but
yeah.
Yep, James Earl Jones comes in there. Got it all going on.
Other movie, yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, your fingerprint or your face is your password. And again, similar concept that you store all your passwords and just have that one access that'll get you in. So something to look into. It's got some big names behind it. Yeah, TrueKey.com.
And it says Intel, I saw in there. Yeah.
Yeah, Intel and McAfee's logos are on there. So worth looking into.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot more of that. I have a computer that does fingerprint scanning. I just swipe it over and up it pops. You know, and most Windows 10 machines support that now. So I think they call it Hello, I think is the name of the technology. It does some of that facial recognition as well. So there are others, of course, and some are... Some are mobile friendly or some are mobile ready. They have apps as well as desktop versions. If you're looking for something, I would say find something that does do both desktop and, you know, mobile devices, because it's really a bummer to try and visit something on your phone like Facebook or whatever and not have the password available right on the device, especially if it's a hard one to crack, which is what it should be.
Yeah, definitely. Well, right. I think we've exhausted passwords. Yeah, let's keep going.
Okay, pick of the week is what's up next.
I have some password-centric picks of the week. And
so do I.
One of them we've talked about pretty recently on the show. It's called passwordday.org. And we talked about it in early May because they actually designated May 5th as a day to pay attention to passwords. And they got these little fun vignettes by Betty White recorded where she tells you why you should change your password and, you know, things like that. It's really timeless material. It might be good to share this link with your staff and ask them to review it. And there's even a quiz at the end where they could take a security quiz and just kind of bone up a little bit on why we use all these different passwords and how to do multi-step authentication and things like that. So it's passwordday.org, and I think a great resource for you to share. And then from there, I also found the site called StopThinkConnect.org. I'm going to dig a little deeper on this one, but it is from, I'm going to go way down to the bottom of the page and read that it's from the Anti-Phishing Working Group and the National Cybersecurity Alliance, and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security weighs in as well. So they're talking about all types of online safety and security, and certainly passwords are mentioned here. They have a couple of fact sheets out there that you can download. One's about safety tips for mobile devices specifically, and then basic tips and advice. And so you can find this website at stopthinkconnect.org, and I think the resources are very well done there. So nice. Check it out.
Okay, lots of security-related, password-related resources there. And I'm going to finish that off with a YouTube video all about passwords and different things that you can do to make it a little bit easier. This is from a guy called Grant Thompson. He calls himself the King of Random, and you can tell that by some of the videos that he has out there. So he has things like 6 Mischievous Tricks and Pranks for April Fools, homemade fire starters for backyard barbecues, how to make random weekend projects, all kinds of stuff. But this one is called 6 Digital Life Hacks for Your Passwords. And it's got almost 2.8 million views. It was done in 2013. It's a nicely done video, about a 5-minute video, kind of fun to watch, that gives all kinds of tips for making strong passwords. One thing that of these 6 digital life hacks that comes up a couple times throughout his recommendations is to use passphrases. So a phrase that you will remember, and even if you use all the letters, obviously that the longer the password, the stronger it is. But even if you use punctuation and those kinds of things, capitalization, commas, etc., that's obviously going to build it. So you're actually typing in almost a sentence for your password, and obviously your fingers get faster at it. Or taking the first letter of each word in that sentence with capitalization, with punctuation. One thing he recommends in one of his hacks is to use spaces, which I never have used. I think there are some sites that would have a problem with that, but there are many that probably are okay with spaces. So if you're using passphrases, include the spaces. And that's another character, right? A space is a character that maybe is not that easy to guess. So take a look at the video, and I think there's some great advice here on how to create. If you're not using like a strong password generator, like LastPass can produce, this is an easy way to figure out what your next password should be. So 6 digital life hacks for your passwords on YouTube.
Good stuff. Thanks for sharing that. Before we let the first week in July pass by, we should remind folks of our final month of the Wells Tech Photo Challenge. We have sponsored all throughout this year different challenges for each month of the year, so folks can submit images to be included in our online public domain photo gallery, specifically for church and school usage. So a collection of images that go throughout the church year and different events, as well as just general images that you can use for church and school resources or whatever. Our Wells Tech Photo Challenge album has 740 photos in it already, Martin. It's so exciting to see its growth all throughout the year. And for July, we want to cap that off with pictures of summer outreach and the verse Isaiah 52 verse 7, which talks about some beautiful feet bringing the word. So definitely take the time to share some images from your personal image library that fit with those themes so that we can build up the Wells Tech Photo Challenge library.
Thanks. One thing that we want to remind our listeners of is that there is still opportunity to give us feedback. As feedback comes in over the summer, we're still sharing that on the show. We didn't have any from last week, but look forward to hearing from you this week, especially if you've got ideas on password management, making strong passwords, or some of your own life experiences with using passwords. Jump onto our show notes website, wellstech.wells.net, or email us, wellstech@wells.net, and we're on all the social networks. Just do a search for Wells Tech, and you'll find us even on Pinterest. So pin a password picture of some sort, and we'd be happy to share that too. So let us hear you and be a part of the conversation.
Okay, sorry, but I have another funny story to tell. I'm just full of funny stories today. But I did see an image that was worthy of pinning about passwords. It was a signboard, and it said, I changed all my passwords to incorrect. So when it tells me your password is incorrect, I'll be able to remember it.
Good ha-ha. Password tip.
Yeah, just capping it off with the best.
Beautiful. Did that come from Mississippi? Somebody?
I don't know. It's possible.
All right. Next week, we're going to continue our conversation about security, and we're going to move from passwords to backups. Security is all about kind of safeguarding your data, and in order to safeguard your data, you need more than one copy. And we're going to talk about some strategies, some things to think about, some techniques that we found helpful over the years. So tune in next week for our conversation about backups. That's about it, Sally. Say goodbye to the good folks.
Goodbye, good folks, and enjoy your vacation.
Yep, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.